We have hit a point in our podcast where I'd like to open up the box. I mean, there's obviously Lean and Six Sigma, operational excellence, or any kind of continuous improvement.
I feel that our listeners can or have more content or contributions to provide us and maybe even enlighten some of the listeners on how they feel about certain topics, just not what we think about those things.
So if we could get a brave soul willing to come on the podcast, would love to hear of unique ways that people have used maybe a different tool, best practice, or even better, a lesson learned from maybe a poor execution of a tool. Go to our website, www.e6s-methods.com. Click on the button that says call for content. Let us know what you'd like to share.
Welcome to the E-Success Methods Podcast with Jacob and Aaron, your weekly dose of tips and tricks to achieve excellent performance in your business and career. Join us as we explore deeper into the practical worlds of Lean, Six Sigma, project management, and design thinking. In this episode number 144, we go completely intentional with part one of this series on mistake-proofing.
You done messed up, Aaron!
If you like this episode, be sure to click the like link in the show notes. It's easy. Just tap our logo, click, and you're done. Tap, click, done. Here we go.
Hey, Jacob, how are you?
I'm good, Aaron. How are you doing?
Jacob, I am doing great. Jacob, it seems like it's been a really long time since we've spoken.
I think it has. I would say at least 4 weeks, if not more.
4 weeks? Yeah, okay. That sounds about right. So I don't exactly remember where we... Oh, I think we probably did some sort of agile thing or catching up on something. Yeah. And I've got some fillers. I've been putting in some guests and stuff like that and filling in for wherever we don't have an episode. But we do have an episode for today, and we're going to have... This one is a good follow-up from where we left off with the FMEA, and that is when we start to actually take some action in the form of mistake-proofing.
Oof. Is that the common name?
Well, I would call it the common English name. I mean, that's how I've looked at it. But it is known by many names. It's kind of... If you go by Japanese, it is pokeyoki, or some people call it pokeyoke. I've always called it mistake proofing everywhere I've gone, but there are several names that we'll talk about.
Okay.
It's interesting, but what we may call mistake proof, or what I guess we call mistake proof now, it's in Lean Six Sigma training, is really not much different than what I may have just called, oh, that's just smart design, or that's just good engineering, or something like that. So maybe when you say it, is that the common name? Were you referring to just design or engineering?
No, I was just thinking out loud. I was thinking of the pokeyoke and other things, not necessarily engineering.
I was actually exposed to the terms mistake proofing before I was exposed to the term pokeyoke or whatever it is. I don't even know how to pronounce it, but I think they both mean the same thing. So. Anyway, so I've come up with a couple of different objections, and that one that I just mentioned, you know, mistake proofing is no different than quote unquote engineering, and I say I agree to that, but there is this elegance I think that exists in pokeyoke or mistake proofing, and that it should be simple, and anything that has to be engineered, there is a stigma with making it overly complicated. So the key point here is that a pokeyoke or mistake proof should be simple, and I say that there's an elegance in the simplicity. So it is engineering. It can be design, but it's got to be simple, in my opinion.
Yeah. And it depends on the scenario. Some of it is not even engineering related. It could be common sense related. So you could relate it to engineering, but in most cases, it doesn't have to be.
And I don't mind it being engineering, because I think some of those things that we find to be brilliant in engineering are those things that seem so obvious once you see them that you would have thought that they were common sense, but for some reason you never thought of doing it that way before.
Yep.
And there's another issue with mistake proofing, which can be true, is that they're only band-aids and they don't always get to the root cause. And I say, yes, that's okay if you can't get to the root cause, but at least do something, even if it's just to manage the symptoms. It's better than doing nothing. So I think as we go through, we can talk more about that.
Agreed.
So, by the American Society for Quality, this is the definition for mistake-proof.
All right.
Mistake-proofing is the use of any automatic device or method that either makes it impossible for an error to occur or makes the error immediately obvious once it has occurred.
Okay.
So is that clear?
Yes.
Okay. So, you know, it's interesting. It says any automatic device or method. So I don't know what that means. I mean, does the method have to be automated or is a device automated? I don't know. I don't necessarily think it needs to be automated.
I mean, it doesn't have to be automated, but it should be evident.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I mean, you can think of many different scenarios, which is something I know you're covering later on in the section, so we can get to that at that point. But even automations, like, you know, you can think of a simple spreadsheet, and you can put conditional formatting. So if somebody's entering the wrong sort of a number that is not being expected in there, mm-hmm. you can put a flag in it. You know, in my opinion, that's an automated way of making sure that the number is checked or not.
Right.
You know, so whether it's a device or a method, I don't think the automated is, maybe it's an automatic device, maybe it's a device, maybe it's a method, whatever that is, alerting somebody in a way that something's going wrong or not going in the right direction before mm-hmm. problems really happen or immediately when the problem happens, so you can rectify it immediately. That's what mistake proofing's about.
Right. If you can't prevent it, at least you can detect it or flag it right away. Yep.
Yeah.
And I want to add to this definition just a little bit, because it doesn't talk about what I mentioned before, that it can also be to reduce the severity or the impact or the symptom of an occurrence. And I'm actually expanding that to perception around a defect. And we'll talk a little bit more about that later. And just another reminder is some of these things can be really complex or hopefully very simple. And 5S fits right into this definition to make an error immediately obvious once it has occurred. If you've got a great 5S program, when something is out of place or had gone wrong or out of normal, a good 5S, you should notice it right away.
Mm-hmm.
So that fits well within this definition. And I wouldn't have thought of 5S as a pokey-okey or mistake proof before this definition, but I think it truly does fit well with the definition.
Yeah, it helps. I don't think it's truly a mistake-proofing alone exercise, but it can definitely support that.
Right. Well, if you think about it, it's not really automatic. 5S requires a lot of manual intervention, cultural. It's got to be part of the culture to really have it work.
Yep.
Okay. So some different names. You asked about different names.
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever heard of any of these ones before? What do you got here?
I got fail-safe. Yes. I think the most common, little translation at some point I've read this from Japanese. I don't know if that's true or not, is idiot proofing.
Oh, you're so mean.
Yeah. Or fool proofing, mm-hmm. you know, however you want to look at it. I think that's probably what I've heard more colloquially, or things where that's what you want to do. Hey, let's make this as simple so that nobody can make a mistake.
Right.
You know, countermeasures, I haven't heard that much. But I guess it makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I think between idiot proofing, fool proofing, pokeyoke, you know, textbook, that's what the definition you'll hear most of the time. Mistake proofing, they all get used interchangeably. At least I use them interchangeably.
Right. So countermeasures is sort of and if there's anybody out there who's actually a real lean zealot out there, or they may see countermeasures as something different. I see them as at least overlapping, and also overlap with what's known as Jidoka. Now, I'm not a lean zealot, and it's an entire, I'll call it religion, and I should be closer to it. I believe I should be closer to it, but some of these Japanese terms and some of these other terminology, I still believe they fall underneath mistake proofing, or at least mistake proofing maybe is a category of countermeasures, but sometimes countermeasures is what's used in place of some of these other corrective action sort of activities.
True. And Jidoka, the little bit that I recollect and a little bit I've used it mainly, is more about building quality within your station. So it's in-station quality. That's how I've always accounted it for. I don't know if that's the little translation. So if there is really a purist, you can correct us, please. But I've always referenced this as building quality right the first time. So where you're working at, and again, mistake proofing or whatever it is supports that activity. That's how I've always associated the two.
So that's interesting. So I can see that. All right. So some of the benefits, we talked about that a little bit already, but you want to catch errors at the source, and mm-hmm. not by introducing a quality control or an inspection. You want to catch them right there by either engineering it so that it can't exist anymore, or preventing the error from occurring, or some of these making it impossible for it to proceed without being detected, something like that.
Yep.
And why does a company care about this?
Well, there's a lot of different things. I think the first and foremost is if you are reducing defects going down the line, you're reducing rework, you're reducing all those kind of activities. Mm-hmm. If it's a part that can't be reworked, then you're basically waste treating it or rejecting it, or the resources that you spent on it between man hours and materials are all going to trash or waste. So you're avoiding all of that aspects. If you have problems that are happening, you can immediately get to it and solve future problems from happening, which is, again, if you're familiar with the Toyota way, or if you've read a little bit, they have this concept called the Andon cord, mm-hmm. where if something's really not going right, you can stop the line immediately if need be. Somebody can make that decision and solve the problem before everything gets passed down. So just in general, that sort of activities, you can probably, you know, the notes kind of highlight here, even spend lesser time on training workers, because chances are they're never going to make that mistake because you've engineered it the proper way, or you have a system to alert them if they're making a mistake, so you don't have to worry about overly spending too much time getting them comfortable with that aspect as well.
Yeah, essentially, you've done enough work up front to eliminate the occurrence of an error, then you don't need to train them on how to spot or deal with that error. You can have them concentrate on the new horizon of errors that we haven't really come up to yet.
Yep.
You are listening to E6S Methods Podcast, brought to you by E6S Industries. Join us on our website at www.e6s-methods.com. Journey through success.
Are you applying for professional certification in your field? You'll be happy to learn that all this time you've been streaming Jacob and me into your ears, you've also been earning continuing education units, or CEUs, which can be applied toward most professional certifications. You can do your research, all the math, and figure out which episodes are applicable for which discipline, or you can save yourself the time and hassle and just order a CEU report from us. All you need to do is provide us with which episodes you've listened to, and we'll provide you with a portfolio including details about each episode and a certificate of recognition with a CEU breakdown by competency, including leadership, tactics and tools, strategy deployment, and principles and philosophies. So if you have certification on the mind, start here and save some time. Just go to e6s-methods.com/CEU to order yours.
There are a different type of errors, and I've actually distilled it down to a few. Error-related defects, which could be caused by incorrect or omitted processing or misoperation of equipment, improper setup or adjustment, or you could be missing parts or working on the incorrect parts. Mm-hmm. And those are pretty general categories, but if you can imagine, this happens all the time. This happens in surgery. People get the wrong limbs operated on, or you know, the wrong patient may get the wrong medication or something like that.
If you're Mr. Bean, you fill your wrong tooth.
I'm sorry?
If you watch the Mr. Bean comedy series.
Yeah, but okay, go ahead.
You've seen the one where he goes for tooth filling and you haven't seen that one?
No, I don't think I've seen this one.
Oh, you should see that one. That's funny. So Mr. Bean, you know, I have to say this now.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Mr. Bean decides to get his tooth filled, and somehow between all the nonsense that's going on, whoever was giving him anesthesia decided to give him anesthesia, get the anesthesia on themselves.
Oh, sure.
So now Mr. Bean's running late. So he just looks at the picture of the tooth and he decides to do the filling himself.
Oh, okay.
And then he realizes, then he flips the, somehow that picture falls down when he's halfway through, and then he realizes, oh, he puts it back together and he's like, oh, am I filling the wrong teeth? So at the end of the day, he basically fills all his teeth, all his molars, wherever that one particular teeth needs to be, and he walks out of there.
Were they gold fillings?
I don't remember.
Okay.
It was just one of those ones. I
okay.
But yes, that could be something.
True. And you can imagine that he could have maybe not even been using the dentist drill properly, or may not have even been using the right equipment in order to even do the filling. I mean, he wasn't the dentist, right?
Exactly.
Right.
He was on the chair doing it himself.
So some of the human error causes which could lead to some of the error-related defects could be inadvertent errors or forgetfulness, or mm-hmm. I guess drug-induced and you know anesthesia-induced mistakes.
Yep.
But it could be as a result of misunderstanding, lack of training, or lack of standards and supervision.
Or it could be just plain old tired. People make mistakes. It doesn't always have to be something related to that.
No, that's true too. Yeah, overworked. Overworked may fall into one of these, maybe inadvertent or something like that. But or even errors in identification where you've just
you thought it was something else and you decided to do something.
Yeah.
You know?
Right. Yeah. You
bad judgment calls.
You're doing the right thing on the right what you thought was the right piece, but it wasn't the right piece or something like just like what you said. You know, he misidentified which tooth it should be.
Yep.
And then there are those that are. You know, I think this is one of the issues in a lot of areas and a lot of different operations is they believe that a lot of these human errors are intentional and willful. And, there's no, go ahead.
I find that very hard to believe.
You find it hard to believe that people believe that?
Not people believe that is a main reason why it happens, why mistakes happen, that it's willfully or intentionally done.
Yeah,
go ahead. I'm sure you have a counter.
I believe that it's almost never willfully or intentionally done.
Yeah.
There may have been some occasions of one or two people doing it in places I've worked, but almost never has it been like this. But it's been very much treated as such because, you know, people who make simple mistakes, which could be due to that are inadvertent errors, they get treated, you know, they get put on some sort of performance improvement plan, or they get, you know, written up because of just dumb mistakes because they're treated as if they'd done it on purpose, but they're really in the grand scheme of things, it's a luck of the draw. They almost had no, control on whether or not they made that mistake.
Yeah.
Was that along the lines of what you were going to say?
I was going to say around like people are just looking to make mistakes and hurt the company, I think, you know, or just they don't care anything about it. They're just going to do whatever comes in their path and get it done.
Mm-hmm.
That sort of mentality, I think, is not. I haven't encountered many, if any at all.
Well, you were a supervisor for line level work. Did you ever feel like somebody was just making mistakes on purpose?
They have to sabotage and do things? No, I don't think so.
Okay. But you've seen mistakes happen.
Yeah, mistakes are bound to happen. Yeah, I put the wrong shipment in the wrong truck, or I gave the wrong paperwork to the wrong truck driver. Yeah, I've done that.
Right.
You know, I put the wrong label on the inventory because I was I printed 10 labels at the same time and put it on the wrong stuff.
Right. Yeah, I guess the point is, although sabotage is a legitimate category for human errors, most often it is. I think it's too often seen as too often cited by leadership as sabotage when it's actually not sabotage and it's just some sort of system or random mistake.
Absolutely. Completely.
All right. So when should we employ mistake proofing in your opinion?
Anytime and every time. I would say anytime you're seeing errors happen consistently or any area where it is a problematic area, you should consider how can this be eliminated or how can this risk be avoided. In my opinion, it's risk mitigation.
Mm-hmm.
If this is something that's happening consistently or could happen consistently and mess a whole bunch of things, what can we do?
So you're talking about something that's sort of part of the culture then?
Yeah, I would think.
So who should be looking out to create these mistake proofs then?
The people who are doing the job.
Yeah, why not, right? So in order...
They should know it better.
Right, and they're the ones and this is part of the case for allowing them to be the ones who identify the defects too, right?
Yep.
So if you have a process that you do your work and then five processes down and maybe at the end of the week you find out how well you did on that, then you can't really go back and see where the errors had really been occurring or come up with a fix, right?
Mm-hmm.
But if you can get real-time feedback on the errors that might be occurring, maybe you can figure out a way to adjust it and put in some permanent fixes. But that really does come down. I mean, it'd be great to have that as part of the culture, but a lot of things have to happen in order for that to be true within the culture, which truly does allow for an operator person on the line to have that, autonomy to do so.
Mm-hmm.
So, I have not worked too many places that actually grant that level of autonomy, unfortunately.
I guess where I work now, it's probably not in a day-to-day, everyday aspect, but we definitely have a little bit of that going. We've instituted teams to own continuous improvement themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And we kind of say, hey, think about what you would do differently to make your life easier. So teams sometimes come, and sometimes it is still an engineering change that they've come up with an idea on how to make it. So it needs, in our case, technical implementation, which is changing the code or doing something or adding an extra check or balance to make it leveled. But sometimes it could be as simple as, hey, let's put a checklist together and make sure that anytime you're doing this job, the checklist is available for whoever has to do it so they know what they need to do.
Right.
There's definitely different ways on how that happens.
So there are some other times we can do mistake proofing. And if you want to be more proactive, say you have something that doesn't exist yet, you can do it before it actually occurs. And these would be high risk areas if you have done, say, an FMEA or some other risk assessment, including job safety assessments. If you rank something as being high risk, even though it has never really happened before, but potentially makes sense that it could happen, those are a good place to put in mistake proofing. For instance, even though nobody's fallen off a set of stairs, the likelihood somebody will eventually fall off a set of stairs can be pretty high if there's no handrail there. So I've had some mistake proofings be, well, let's put in a handrail because it only makes sense if you have, you know, three or four steps going up and you're carrying parts. Why not put a handrail there so somebody can't step off the side of it? Stuff like that. Or it can be reactive as a result of some sort of defect that had occurred. So it could be during your 8D analysis, which was your 8 disciplines. We really only touched a little bit on that. I went through that in some detail when I talked about getting fired. I did an 8D analysis on getting fired.
Yep.
Have I put in a good mistake proof from that yet? I don't know.
Tough to say.
Tough to say. Other near misses or customer complaints. So a lot of mistake proofs that I've tried to put in have been a result of customer complaints. For instance, I had a bunch of leaking bottles that we didn't discover until they got to the customer. And one of the mistake proofs we had to put on was a new specification on torque for those leaking bottles, plus also some vendor testing as well. So just as an example. But I do believe, really, ideally, continually, we need to keep an eye on all these defects as they occur, because we as practitioners of Lean Six Sigma and just doing projects, we only see a small portion of the kind of defects that can come along on any sort of process. So you have to, what is the frickin' word I'm looking for? Empower?
Know.
Yeah. You have to empower the people actually doing the work.
Yeah.
That's the only way that you'll actually get closer to eliminating the majority of these defects.
Yeah, I mean, completely agree there. And I think the people who feel, people who own those things are the people who feel empowered enough to do it are the ones who are going to drive the change and feel comfortable enough to do that as well.
Mm-hmm. All right, so have you ever heard some of these key rules with regards to approaching mistake proofs?
Why don't you read them out and I'll say yes or no.
All right, so building quality into the process.
Yes, I've heard that.
Okay, all errors can be eliminated.
You know, I haven't heard that as much.
That is, I guess, just call that a philosophy. You have to believe that all errors can be eliminated, and yeah, why not? I guess. Not all of them may be worthwhile to eliminate. Or something like that. Seek out the root cause of an error.
I think that's standard.
Start now and don't wait for perfection.
I haven't heard that, but it's probably something that I might have practiced.
I think that's the key, really, is if you don't even think about all the rest of it, is too many times, and this might get into the over-engineering part, we overcomplicate the solutions we try to implement, or we find reasons why something simple can't work. And this is, hey, if it's got a small opportunity to work and it's kind of low risk, give it a shot now. See if it does work.
Yeah.
Thanks for listening to episode 144 of the eSuccess Methods Podcast. Stay tuned for part 2 of Completely Intentional Mistake Proofing in episode 145. Don't forget to click like or dislike for this episode in show notes. Tap click done. If you have a question, comment, or advice, leave a note in the comment section or contact us directly. Feel free to email me, Aaron, A-A-R-O-N, at e6s-methods.com or through our website. We reply to all messages. If you heard something you like, then clamor and share it. Don't forget you can find notes and graphics for all shows and more at www.e6s-methods.com. Journey through success. If you're not climbing up, you're falling down. And that would be a mistake.
You're done!